Sorry about that, my friends. Music disappeared, but I'm here. I don't know what happened. I really don't. But I'm just glad to be with you. This is going to be a great broadcast. Today, we're going to deal with the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross and the born again Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ and the cross and the born again Jesus. It's going to be a great broadcast. And I want you right in the middle of it. I really do. I want you to get right into your Bible. Let's look at what the Bible teaches us. And let's understand what the Bible says about the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me begin with this great scripture in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, the words of Apostle Paul. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross, the glory of the church, the glory of our whole religious world, in the Christian faith that is the glory of the cross, the blood that Jesus spilled on Calvary. That blood alone will change your life. It will make a new person out of you. You'll never be the same again. It is so very important that you understand the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you didn't hear that, you may have joined a few seconds too late there. But we were playing it and it went out on us. But we're here. And we're going to have a great broadcast. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ. When you begin to study in this Bible about the person of Christ and the blood of Christ, something really dawned on me this week that I love. It really got a hold of me. Talking about the blood without understanding who Jesus was and understanding the divine blood that traced its way in his very body, without understanding all of that message, you really don't understand the blood. When you know that he was the divine Son of God, born of the Holy Ghost, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, you begin to understand how absolutely imperative this whole message is. It is right at the heart of Christianity. Right at the heart. If you have religion without the blood, all you've got is religion. You're lost, lost, lost. Could I say that again? If you have religion, if you're a member of a Christian church, if you've been baptized, if you even live by and keep all the commandments of the Bible, if you haven't been washed in the blood of the crucified Savior, you're still lost. Only the blood, the grace of God by the blood can save you. Good works don't save you. Living a good life don't save you. Keeping all the commandments of God doesn't save you. Those things are important. You should do those things. But you got to remember, it's the blood. Nothing but the blood. Would everybody out there in the audience of both radio and internet say with me, nothing but the blood? And would you think of that often? And remember, the blood doesn't just save you. The blood keeps you. The blood preserves you. The blood sanctifies you. The blood breaks the powers of the devil against you. The blood absolutely is the total victory of this Bible. You can take this holy book, as wonderful as the Bible is, as perfect as it is, and you eliminate the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all you've got is a wonderful book. All you've got is some great truths and some great teachings, but you don't have salvation. You don't have forgiveness of sin. You don't have a new walk with God, a new life. The church is full of people who've never been born again because there's not enough preaching about the blood. If you go to one of the modern liberal churches that no longer preach the blood, you must understand all your church has is religion. Can you understand me? Please understand me. I don't say this to be critical of nobody. I'm not putting down a preacher, say at Myers Park Baptist or Myers Park Presbyterian, Myers Park Methodist. I'm not talking against a preacher at Providence Baptist or any other church in this city. Maybe there's some of them that may actually preach this blood in all of its validity and power. You know, I don't know that. I don't know yay or nay. But I do know that it's only about the blood. And if you go to a great Pentecostal church, which I'm a Pentecostal, and they don't preach the blood, it's no different than any other church that don't preach the blood. There's no power. There's no life there to save. There's no ability there to overcome the devil in the world. No wonder our churches are full of people that love the world more than they love Christ and love the kingdom. It's because they've never been truly transformed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you get the message? It's the blood, nothing but the blood. And I'm here to talk about that. Now, I want to go a little further for a little bit of this broadcast. Not much, but a little bit. And I want to talk about the born-again Jesus that's preached throughout the charismatic world. And many of the Pentecostal churches now have gone into this doctrine of the born-again Jesus. That Jesus had to go to hell, become one with the devil, become himself an evil being, and in hell be born again. And we're not saved by his death on the cross, they teach. I'm telling you, they teach. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Paul and Jan Crouch, Paul now dead, Paul and Jan Crouch, Frederick Price. I mean, you can name many of the biggest names in the charismatic world, the television world, I might say, the television religious world, and they preach a born-again Jesus that didn't save you by the shed blood on the cross, but saved you by going into hell and be born again. I'm going to play you a little bit of Kenneth Hagin saying that. You'll hear his voice. You'll hear his voice. You'll see some quotes out of his book, because I want you to get a picture of that, but I don't want to spend much time there. I want to spend the time with the power of the blood. Sir, if you're lost, dear lady, if you are lost, it doesn't matter. You may be an alcoholic on the street. You may be a prostitute on the street. I don't know what you could be. There's many potentials out there of wicked living. It doesn't matter. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to wash you in the blood and make an upstanding, Bible-believing saint of God out of you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a street walker becoming a saint of God? Well, that's the Bible. Can you imagine an alcoholic becoming a saint of God? That's the Bible. That's the blood. That's the power of the blood. I am so excited. I've made up my mind these last days that I'm making the theme of my life. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And God forbid that I should ever preach another sermon that I don't at some point in that sermon remind people of the blood of Jesus Christ and that sacred divine person of Christ that gave his blood, divine blood. Now I want to talk about that. I want you to get a picture of that. Let me take you to the book of Hebrews. Boy, is that a book. I wish every one of you that are listening to me this week would read Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. Listen to me now. Read Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. Here's the verse in Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By his blood, entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes and of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, that's Moses' law, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Well, let me tell you, when you are purged by the blood of Jesus, you're going to be a new creature. You're not going to want the world. You're not going to want to live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. You're not going to want to be of the world. When you are washed in the blood of Jesus, sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, sanctified, these are different terms the Bible uses, by the blood of Jesus, you're going to be a new creature. You're going to be a new creature, and you're going to be proud to be a new creature. You're going to be delighted to be a new creature. You know, I really believe this power of the blood will make such a new creature out of you. You can overcome anything the devil puts in front of you. You can rise above any tough trial that comes to your way, any temptation that comes against you, any trial of your faith the devil might usher into your wake. I want you to know, when you are living by the blood, you're going to be the overcomer. You're going to rise above it. You got to ever remember, do this by the blood. Live by the blood. You read the old books of, let's say, Dwight L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and, Andrew Murray and those great, devotional books that are breathtaking. And all of them gave much emphasis to the cross and the blood. And we, in this generation, are not preaching the blood enough. We're not preaching the cross enough. And I've committed this year, you listen to this program. You listen, I'll watch this program, and you're going to hear much about the blood. And I'm going to show you a victory that you can have in Christ that is so beautiful. I've been living for Him now, be 63 years in March, 2 months away. 63 years I've been living for Christ. I was a 16-year-old radical kid when I was wonderfully converted of the power of Jesus Christ. And He made such a new creature out of me. I've never wanted to go back. I've never wanted to compromise anything in this Bible. If the Bible says it, that settles it. That settles it. That's the way I live it. That's the way I preach it. That's the way I teach it. You can hear that. I don't want nothing but the power of Christ. God forbid that I should glory saving the cross. There's no glory in me. I get so sick of me sometimes just knowing how I must day by day cling to Christ, and how unhappy I become if I don't live in the Bible, how depressed I can become if I don't seek the wisdom and the work of the Holy Spirit. My flesh is just like your flesh. It's deplorable. It's deplorable without Christ, without Christ, without the blood. Without the sanctifying power of the blood, enabling me to live clean and holy and pure. Oh, I love you, friend. Now, I want you involved, okay? I'm going to give you a gift today. I've started on Wednesday night doing a study on the great major doctrines of the Bible and their counterpart. See, the devil has an imitation for everything in the Bible. This is one thing that every church ought to be concerned about, and I'm concerned about it. This program has always been concerned about it, 40-some years, and we always deal with the major doctrines of the Bible and defending them against anything out there that may undermine the truth of the Bible. That's all I've ever done. That's all I'm committed to. People say he's just an old critic. No, I'm not. I am not a critic. I don't put down nobody. I'm going to show you a little bit of Kenneth Hagin, but I'm not going to put him down. He was probably a wonderful granddad to his grandchildren, maybe a marvelous husband to his wife. I don't have anything against Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn. I don't put them down as individuals. I talk about the doctrines of the Bible, the truth of the Bible. You can't criticize me for that. I don't believe. Read Revelation chapter 2 and what the Lord said to His church at Ephesus, and then chapter 3, and see how much God depends on His church to defend the truth of this Bible. You say God doesn't need us to defend it. God needs us to help Him with everything He does. We are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's vineyard. We are the body of Christ. Of course we are to be busy with anything that concerns Him. Anything. Now, if you want the past Wednesday night Bible study on a CD, you can call right now and get it. I taught about this very subject, the cross and the blood versus the born again Jesus. The cross and the blood versus the born again Jesus. On CD, very good. Very good. I thought it was one of the sweetest Wednesday night studies. I loved it. And there was such a sweet spirit of the Lord that moved down in this place. And you'll hear at the end as the Holy Spirit just kind of enveloped us in a joy from heaven. Oh, that's rich. That's rich. I don't believe in preaching and teaching without the anointing. I want the Holy Ghost upon me. And He is upon me. And I'm grateful. I don't deserve it, but I sure am grateful. So if you want that Bible study on a CD for last Wednesday night, all you got to do is call. It's my free gift. Fair enough? My free gift to you. Okay? Call quickly. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number. 704-391-0588. That's 704-391-0588. And then email. Email your question. It's right here in front of me. Already questions coming in. Email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, about the middle of the program, the bottom of the hour, I'm going to go to a video with comes out of our series on the false anointing. It's 11 videos or DVDs, whichever, in this series of videos I did professionally. You're going to see a little bit of one of them. And this one particular one is a video on the blood of Jesus Christ and the born-again Jesus. The born-again Jesus. The born-again Jesus deception. Okay? Now, I have this whole set on CDs, DVDs, should you desire them. But this particular study of Wednesday night I'm giving you, not from this, but study from Wednesday night. Okay? So keep calling. The lines are open. The folks are answering the phones, and there's four lines, so you can call one after the other. If you get a busy signal, just wait and call back, okay? And if you call and the lines are so tied up, it goes to voicemail, you just leave your request on voicemail. I mean, that's what you can do. Now, I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. That's the local all over this area. And then, of course, America and Canada. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Email me. I want to hear your question. Maybe somebody in Australia, New Zealand. I have listeners all over the world. I mean, Japan now. Oh, I'm excited to hear about Japan coming in, wanting to translate our material and send it across their country. I love that. Pakistan, you know, Ukraine, wherever you are, you can hear or see. Hear or see. I like that. I like that you can see us. I want to see you. I really do. I wish I could look out there and see everybody that's listening. I might see some frowns that would discourage me, maybe. I don't know. I've had so much. I don't know. I'm hard to discourage anymore. I'm keeping my eyes on the sky. I'm looking for the coming of the King. Won't that be wonderful? Let me take this call waiting on me here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, this doesn't concern your subject this week, but of last week. I should have called then, but I just wanted to tell everybody that when you pay your tithes, that somehow the money comes by for your bills. Because one time I had to spend the tax money, and that year a friend gave me over $200 for Christmas that year.
So God met your need.
Yes, He did, and you've got a good subject today. So.
Well, it really is, and I'm glad to hear a testimony, though, of a precious saint of God whom the Lord comes by, sends somebody by. You know, I said a while ago, God does nothing without us. We are laborers together with God. Somebody says, well, God will defend His word. He also wants me to defend His word. Did you know that?
Yes, He does, and I don't do it enough, and I'm going to try to do better.
You know, God said to me the other day, not only are you responsible for what you say, but you're responsible for what you don't say. Sometimes we need to speak up when somebody is in false doctrine. They're losing their soul. They're under condemnation. We need to humbly and very sincerely share the truth with them.
Yes, we should.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. And give us a call now. We want these lines to be tied up talking about the blood. I believe I've got one waiting on me here. I love to go to the internet. I am so proud of having the internet to help me out. It really is wonderful. Right here in front of me, great program. Oh, great. Dave, what a good program I've got, and how great my technology that has been given, provided for me. It's breathtaking. How does the blood protect us or provide covering for our sins? Why don't other churches preach the blood? Well, let me answer the first one. How does the blood protect us or provide covering for sin? Now, I want to change the word of this wonderful question. How does the blood protect us or deliver us, rather than cover us, deliver us from our sins? See, the blood of Jesus doesn't cover sin. It delivers from sin. It doesn't cover your sins while you live in them. It breaks the power of sin. That's why I love it when the Bible makes it so plain that the blood sanctifies us. Did you know that? The blood sanctifies us. I was looking for that scripture. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By the which will we are sanctified. That's Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Okay? You can go read it. Exact words. I'm not changing nothing. By the which will we are sanctified. What does sanctify mean? It means to purify from, to separate from, to set free of. So the blood of Jesus will set you free. You've got a grievous sin that you've dealt with all your life and you can't seem to overcome it. Quit trying to do it in your flesh and go to God before Christ with all your faith, trusting in Him and ask Him to set you free from it and to break that power over you. I love the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 11. If I can quote it, and I can't, it doesn't come. I know it good. I've quoted it so many times just for me. 5:11. Listen to this. This is 6:11. I'm sorry. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now listen to that. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon ye yourselves. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Reckon yourself indeed to be dead unto sin. That means you are free of it. Its power is broken over you. If you have the habit of tobacco and you want to be sanctified and free of that tobacco, you go to Romans 6:11 and you claim that verse and you reckon yourselves indeed. What do you mean reckon? That means count it done. That means treat it as though it is over. It is done with and you are free of it. And as you do so, I promise you, I know too many cases where it's happened. You will be free. You will be free. I'll say to people sometimes, I'm smoking. I wish I could quit. I said, I'll pray with you right now. And the Lord will set you free. I'll ask God to sanctify you and break that old habit. And I know He does it because He's done it too many times for me when I prayed for others. Hey, I'm telling you, the blood is mighty. The blood is mighty. Now grab your phone. Don't want to spend time wasting here. I want to get you on with me. I want you to hear what is happening today, and I want it to bless your life. I really do. I want it to bless your life. Now, if you'll call your friends and get everybody you know to listen, I will share a little bit of Kenneth Hagin and this whole business of the born again Jesus. Hagin says very clearly that His natural death on the cross wouldn't do a thing for you. Shedding His blood wouldn't do a thing for you. That He had to go to hell and become a demoniac and be one with the devil, drug right into the pit by the demons of hell. And then He began to quote the Bible and He was born again. And that's how you are born again. That is false to the core. That is false to the core. I don't mind telling you so. I don't care how wonderful the people are that teach it. They're just wrong. In fact, they're lost. Did you know that if you're not washed in the blood, you're lost? Did you know if you only believe in a Jesus born again in hell, you are lost? You're not even born again? Only the blood can save you. Only the cross of Christ can make a new creature out of you. Nothing but the blood. I mean, that's so basic to Christianity that I shouldn't even have to say it. It should be believed and known by everybody in America, having such a foundation of the Bible in this nation. But I'm sorry, but we live in a generation that many people have forgot that. Now, I hope you'll call quickly. What is your question about the blood? I've got so much to talk about. I want to tell you something. The person of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ as he came into this world. The Bible says that this body was prepared for him. I love that. Let me take you to it. Then let me read it in Hebrews 10 and verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, this is Jesus, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared a body for Jesus. Jesus is saying, a body, speaking to God, hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. But then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. This is Jesus talking about his relationship with the Father. Now he came into the world to do the business of the Father. And the Father prepared a body for him. Above, when he said sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou hast no pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, Jesus talking, I come, O God, to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first is the sacrifices of Moses. The second is the sacrifices of the Christ. Hey, he wants to save you. He wants to make a new creature out of you. And that body in which he came in was spotless. It was without sin. He could not have died had he not willingly died. They could not have killed him in 100 years, beating him and doing everything they did to his body. It would not have killed him. He could not die until he said, it is finished. And to my Father, I give up my spirit. You understand that? His body was divine. It was sacred. It was the second Adam. It would have lived forever if he had not allowed it to be crucified. But then he laid it down that he might pick it up again. I love that. In the book of John, Jesus makes it so plain. I hope you have read that recently. If not, I shall read it to you if I shall find it. Sometimes there's so much in this wonderful book. It just never ends. Did you know that? It never ends. He said, no man taketh my life from me. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So you understand, the body that shed that blood was a divine body, was a sacred body. The blood in him that run down from his body and dropped on the ground was divine blood. There was not an ounce, a speck of sin in it. No man had anything to do with his birth. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And you know, it is man that passes on the seed of sin, you know. It's not the woman, it's the man. And since Mary had this birth of the Holy Ghost, the body of Jesus was spotless, without sin, who did no sin, neither was gall found in his mouth. And this sacred body, the reason he could save you on the cross was because the body he offered was a divine body. I mean, a human body, but a divine spirit within, and sacred blood, sinless blood, divine blood. And he spilled it on the cross, and the power of that cross. You know what? As I have studied this week, it seems like my faith has soared. You begin to understand the body and the blood of Jesus. You understand that sacred, sinless body. You understand that body that was conceived by the Holy Ghost and prepared for him. And he was given the power to lay it down and to take it up again. And nobody could take it from him. He had no diseases because his body was a pure body without sin. I keep wanting to say divine body. It wasn't divine body. It was a human body, but with divine blood within the body. Hallelujah. It was God and man together, the theanthropic person, as theology would call him. Hallelujah. And so when he shed his blood, that blood was awesome. And it washed the sins of man to every man or woman who will trust him and who will believe in him. Do you understand that? And if you're having trouble overcoming sin, you need to start depending on the blood. You need to be sanctified by the blood. And if you think you can be religious and still live like the world and still fornicate and drink and cuss and swear and do all these things while you're living for Christ, I'm here to tell you, the blood of Jesus don't allow that. Because when the blood of Jesus gets through with saving you, you are a new creature. You are made over. You're not the same person. I'm hearing people say, I can't stand that old hard holiness. Well, neither can I. But I love Bible holiness. I love Bible living because the blood has enabled me to live clearly and fully by the Bible. I keep the commandments because the blood has washed me from the power of breaking those commandments. Woo! I don't know about you, but I like what I'm saying. I like what I'm saying. Can I hear from you? I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. The lines are open, 1-800-338-7884. I got to tell you about next Saturday night, not tonight now, 1 week from tonight. We're moving our Sunday night service of the 18th back to the 17th, which is Saturday night week. And Reverend Joey Yates is going to be here to preach for us. And I've invited a wonderful group of singers from Lexington called the Inspirationals. They, I hope, can be here. Haven't got the absolute from them yet, but I have invited them twice and made sure that they know we want them to be here. That's next Saturday night, 1 week from tonight, 6 o'clock. You can come to Paul Creek. It'll be our Sunday night service. Move back on Saturday night, okay? Now, tomorrow night, we'll have regular service. That's this Sunday, this week. No service tonight. Now, remember, I'm talking about a week from down the road. Too many people have didn't listen to me good, and I want to make sure you hear. Not tonight, but next Saturday night, church right here, 6 o'clock. Notice, 6 o'clock, so that we can be, let you go home. Some will be driving in, like Brother Yates and others from his church, probably from Raleigh, maybe even from other places. We're just looking for a great crowd, like a camp meeting night. That's what it's going to be. Joey Yates preaching, one of the best. One of the best. And I invite all of you listening to me, all over Gastonia, all the way down to Gaffney, over in Concord, wherever you are, Sunday night. Wow. No wonder they misunderstand me. I say the wrong thing sometimes. Saturday night, okay? I'm going to look for you to be here. 6 o'clock, Saturday night week. That's January the 17th. And then on the 19th, I'm going to have me a birthday. The 19th of January, I'm going to have me a birthday, and it means 79, that big old 7 with a 9. And I love it. I do love it. I do love it. I really do. Bless your heart now. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588, and then toll free, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, I'm going to that video. I want you to hear this. I may be doing this a lot in the coming future, so listen carefully. He became the only begotten when he was born again in hell. And here are his words.
Well, I hope
page 29 of this book.
Yeah,
no, this is a quote. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Is not talking about the day he took upon himself a body. Then what day was it, he asked? When was it that Jesus was begotten? When he was raised up. On that resurrection morn. Why did he need to be begotten or born? Because he became like we were, separated from God. Because he tasted death for every man. His spirit, his inner man, went to hell in our place. Now, Kenneth Hagin is saying that Jesus was not begotten during the 33 years of his life. The only begotten Son, not at all. He only became that only begotten Son when he was born again in hell. Now that's very, very concerning to me. That's the day then that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Again, a quote on page 33. What day? The day he was begotten. The day he was raised up. That's the day then that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. So Jesus was not the only begotten Son until he was born again. What heresy. What confusion of idea. That to me is certainly overwhelming. Now, he makes it very clear in the statement that his natural death could not save you. That his natural death, his physical death, could not save you. Now you say, Brother Chambers, how could he ever believe that? How could he ever say that? Here's his quote. Physical death would not remove our sins. He tasted death for every man. Spiritual death. Physical death would not remove our sins. He tasted death for every man. Spiritual death. Now, I want us to go to a video.
We've done this video, Kenneth Hagin, and the spirit of the serpent. In this, we have a quote of Kenneth Hagin saying those exact words. You will hear it from his voice. You will hear it out of his thinking. Following that, you will hear me quote two very powerful scriptures, or at least read them from the Bible, that makes it clear that this cannot be true. Let's go to that video clip. Let you hear Kenneth Hagin for himself say that the physical death of Jesus could not save you, would not save you, that Jesus had to go to hell and be born again.
Did he need to be begotten or born? Because he became like we were, separated from God. Because he tasted spiritual death for every man. And his spirit, an inner man, went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Jesus is the first person that was ever born again. Why did his spirit need to be born again?
Now let's continue. Kenneth Hagin doesn't stop with what you just heard him say. He makes it very clear that Jesus had to take upon him the nature of Satan. The nature of Satan. Let's hear him say that very clearly. Spiritual death also means having Satan's nature. Now he said Jesus had to suffer spiritual death. And now he says spiritual death also means having Satan's nature. Now to think of Jesus taking Satan's nature would mean he was defiled. He was no longer the spotless, pure Son of God. And if he was spotless, if he was not spotless and not pure, then he could not have been our sacrifice, because he was our substitute, our vicarious offering, took our place. It was his sinlessness that enabled him to bear our sins on his cross and die.
Now, I hope you heard that. I do. I mean, I am overwhelmed that anybody would teach something like this, but it's very evident that they do, and you heard it. And it's really all over the charismatic church world. I hope the Pentecostals haven't picked up on this, but I know that this really has been a big thing. And you know, I bring it to you because I want you to know he did not go into hell as a demoniac and take the very nature of the devil. When he went down into hell, he went for one reason, triumphantly. He was the victor, and he went there to preach to the spirits in prison and to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave and ascend out of there with all the saints of the Old Testament. Oh, I tell you, that is a great victory. That is a great victory. Now, the lines are open. I got a call waiting on me here. Let me see if I can take that call. You are on the air. Nope, they must be on hold again. I'll take it in a moment. Put that call back on hold for me, somebody, and I will do my best to take it. Listen, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. That's the local. And then our toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. And then email jrc@paulcreek.org. I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to be a blessing to you, that these great truths will get a hold of your heart. I mean, that they will get a hold of your heart. I know that Jesus shed his blood on the cross as payment for our sins. But shouldn't there be equal emphasis on the empty tomb? If Christ had not risen, then we would have no hope. Absolutely. The death of Christ without the resurrection would have been a defeat, not a victory. Of course, we must preach the resurrection. Jesus died and rose again. He died and rose again. He made it plain, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We must emphasize the resurrection. We must emphasize the resurrection. But remember what Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Because it's the cross where he paid the price. It's the cross where he offered a gift for you and for your salvation, that you might be born again, that you might know God and love God. Let me see if that number, that call is ready for me. I love to take numbers and answer you on the air. Nope. Somebody help me with that line one. I want to answer that call if I can. Hey, let me tell you, the cross of Christ is the greatest triumph in human history. The whole Bible centers on the cross. The death of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is central to the whole Bible. Everything in the Bible falls apart without his sacred holy life, his wonderful sacrifice, and his glorious resurrection. Everything hinges on that very much. And it's not enough just to talk about the blood. We do need to talk about him and that sacred life. We need to talk about the divine blood, which traced its way through his sacred body. Divine body, human body, but divine spirit. I mean, what a savior. What a redeemer. What a blessed Lord. He's everything we should ever need. Now, the dear call I missed, please call back. And I want to hear from you. What is your question about this distinction of the shed blood and the born-again Jesus? Do you have a question? Or maybe you already understand that. It's a big doctrine, and it's really touched a multitude of people out there. And I know there are a lot of people who are dependent on that for their salvation, and it is a false hope. It is a false idea. And absolutely. Only the blood, nothing but the blood can wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood can make you whole again. Nothing but the blood. I love the song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, where the burden of my sin was rolled away. It was there by faith I received his sacrifice, and now I'm happy all the day. I'm telling you, living in the cross is the most wonderful life in this world. There is nothing to match it. I love it with all of my heart, and I want to hear from you. You are very, very important, so grab your phone and call me quickly. I didn't answer a question a while ago that was in this. Why don't other churches preach the blood? Let me hear from my audience. How many of you have heard a sermon on the blood in recent months? Many churches just about never preach the blood. They say very little about the person of Christ. God forbid that we should glory, save in the blood. Do you hear that? I mean, the centrality of the church is the blood. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear your question about the blood. And I want to give you that study from last Wednesday night. I really love that study. It was such a joy to me to just stand up there and teach it. And of course, it's on CD. It's also on DVD if you should want to order a DVD of it. But the CD is my gift to you, and it will help you. You'll dig right in the scripture. We'll go to one verse after another and show all the power of his life, the power of his death, the sacrifice of his blood, the victory it's offered. And then we talk about how he did descend into the heart of the earth. You know, the Bible said that he would spend 3 days in the heart of the earth. That's what the Bible said. Jesus said it very plainly that the only sign he would show them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As prophet Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, the Son of God would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. If you ever wonder if Jesus was crucified on Friday, I know we celebrate Friday as Good Friday, but that's not the day Jesus was crucified. He was crucified 3 days and three nights before the resurrection. Understand? Had to be. He said it plain, as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, I mean in the belly of the whale, the Son of God will spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he wasn't there to die. He wasn't there as a demoniac. The devil had no control over it. The devil was totally defeated. The whole descent of Christ into the heart of the earth was an absolute defeat for Satan and every demon spirit that a devil has ever been a part of. I'm here to tell you, it was victory, nothing but victory. I have a sermon on the triumph of Christ's descent into the heart of the earth. I have a sermon on that, written sermon, and it's available if you'd like to have it. I'm trying to remember the exact name, and I'm not recalling it, but it's the triumph of Christ's descent into the heart of the earth, and it shows all the victory he really won. He didn't go there to be defeated. He was already triumphant. Remember what he said on the cross? It is finished. How about that? It is finished. Impossible. Impossible for anything else to be a part of this. I promise you, you are on the air now. May I help you, please?
Hey, Pastor Chambers.
Yes.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Good, good. I listen to Hank Pendergraph. Do you ever listen to him?
No. He's off into some false stuff, and I just don't listen to him. I hear people call me quite often.
He doesn't believe in the rapture.
Well, I know that. He's what they call a preterist. A preterist. They believe that all of Revelation was fulfilled somewhere about A.D. 70. And that there is no Antichrist. He believes that was fulfilled also in the first century. So he's missed it terrible. I don't know how to say anything else. I don't listen to him, so I don't know all of what he teaches. So are there any other doctrines he's all off on?
Well, that's the main thing that, you know, I sort of brought up, believing in the rapture, but he seems, he just presents all these arguments that it's already happened.
Well, he doesn't believe in the rapture, and there's a lot of preterists in the church world. There are so many doctrines out there. You've got the pre-trib, the mid-trib, the post-trib. You've got the pre-wrath, which is in the middle between the mid-trib and the post-trib. Then you've got the amillennialists, don't believe in even a millennial reign. You got the premillennialists and the postmillennialists. We're both pre-trib and premillennial. We believe he comes with their seven-year tribulation period. Then he comes back with the saints and sets up his kingdom on the earth. And really, I don't think there's any of all of those ideas that has an ounce of real support in the Bible. The pre-trib, premillennial is just biblical to the core.
Yeah, and he also says that God's not a racist, and that the Jews, I mean, it almost sounds like the Jews aren't the chosen people.
He probably believes that. He probably, that's a good question you're asking. If you're not pre-trib, it's hard to be for Israel, because the pre-trib makes it plain that Israel will be back in their country in the middle of the 7 years. There will be an image of the Antichrist called the Abomination of Desolation. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 24. We see it again in Revelation 13, and this is going to be something that has to do with Israel and Jerusalem. And then at the end of the 7 years, when he comes back, he goes immediately, once he fights the Battle of Armageddon and the Antichrist is defeated, the false prophet is defeated, he then goes to Jerusalem and sets up the kingdom, and he will reign in Jerusalem on the throne of David for 1,000 years. When you eliminate Israel from end time prophecy, you make a mess out of all prophecy.
Yeah, it sounds like he does. I just don't understand how he thinks that the end of times is going to come, because he believes that Christ is going to come back, it sounds like, but it sounds like he doesn't believe, he calls it a secret.
Yeah, he just believes he's going to suddenly come one day, and that's going to be it, I think, is what he believes. But I'm not even sure myself what he believes. I don't have time to follow these guys, because I stay busy studying this book. People call me all the time, would you please let me tell you what I believe? And I used to say, if you believe the Bible, you and I can talk on the radio and talk about what we believe. But if you've got a doctrine out there that you've come up with, I don't have time to hear it.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't think there's anything out there I haven't heard, to be honest with you. But I don't know all that that Hank Handegraff teaches, but I know that his view of the rapture and probably his view of Israel is very skewed.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, sir.
It's your thoughts. Thank you.
God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I listened to you for years. This last week and this week's first time I ever got to see you on the Internet.
How about that? I look terrible, don't I?
You're a distinguished-looking man.
You're very kind to me. I don't deserve that.
You look good for 79 years old. You don't look 79.
Hasn't God been good to me? Do you know, I believe in divine healing. I would that I could get the church world to see, when you understand the body of Jesus, that the body of Jesus was totally, totally, totally preserved because there was no sin. See, his body was a natural body, but it was as Adam's body was when Adam was created, so that no sickness could pass upon the body of Christ. So when he suffered in the hall of Pilate, the stripes on his back, they were not for his healing, they was for mine, your healing. and the healing of everybody listening. And when you begin to understand who Jesus was and the glorious victory of his life and death, you understand the triumph of everything he represented. Why would you not believe him to be your healer? He's been my healer all these years.
I have found out that I'm 64, be here in a couple of months, that your chances of living to be 70 to 80 years old, and like the Bible says, is greatly multiplied if you live for the Lord and do what's right.
Oh, do I believe that with all my heart. There was a big study in the Observer several years ago now in which they had studied about a wife and husband married, lifelong marriage, compared with people marrying and divorcing and marrying and divorcing and the new lifestyle today. And they showed that those who had happy marriages, long-term marriages, were people who lived considerably longer than people who went through the patterns of the world.
You look at the newspaper of where I live, just a small community. I can imagine what it's like where you're at.
Almost no funeral I've been to now for some time was not younger than I am.
People's lifestyles are killing them.
It's killing them. And medicines. I'm telling you, the drugs of today are destroying the physical body of a multitude. I don't want drugs in my body. I use vitamins. I love good vitamins and nutrients that have really been tested and proven. And that's what I use. And I am so grateful. And my wife is 80 and had diabetes for 62 years. And she's still right here helping me with this broadcast.
You know, Reverend Sam, what you was talking about, 20 years ago, you would have never had to spoke on this topic that you're speaking on today. People was taught better, but now they're spiritually illiterate.
The born-again Jesus, isn't that insane?
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's insane. But there's a multitude all over the world. I get letters from people in these foreign countries, and they're heart sick over that doctrine and how it's come in through this charismatic preachers and has just inundated their people.
Jesus, when he went into hell, he actually went into Abraham's bosom, what we call paradise. He didn't go into the suffering side.
Absolutely. You're right on. He went into Abraham's bosom. He said to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Today. Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You can't make anything else out of it.
You know, there's very few people that really, they think just using the name of Jesus is going to get them somewhere, but it has got to be a biblical Jesus of the Bible.
That's why we got to study the person of Jesus and the sacred body of Jesus and the divine blood of Jesus, because all of that is what made the cross and the blood so powerful to save.
Yes, you know, the Bible says, like you were talking about, try the spirits, because there's all kind of spirits out here saying they're Jesus and teaching false doctrines and...
Jesus is being reduced all over the world. But I'm here to tell you, he's the eternal Son of God from everlasting to everlasting. It was in the foundation of the world that Jesus was offered as to be crucified in the heart of God. And when the day came, the Bible says, Jesus said, "God hath prepared for me a body." So God made a body for him. And that body was natural, but it had no sin.
I don't know if you've ever spoke on this, but if you may have, and I've missed it, but sometime you might want to have a program on the biblical Jesus versus the Islamic Jesus.
That would be a good one. That's a good idea. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Pastor Chambers.
Yes.
I had a question concerning the return of Christ and the tribulation. At what point in time do you, or will the eastern gate of Jerusalem be opened again?
At the end of 7 years of tribulation, when Jesus comes back to Megiddo, fights the battle of Armageddon, defeats the Antichrist, drives the Antichrist all the way to the gates of Babylon, where he will destroy him, comes then to Jerusalem, blood on his garment, where he's walked right through the winepress of God, he will set up the kingdom in Jerusalem. Set up the kingdom for 1,000 years, and that's when what you just asked will be fulfilled.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
Oh, I'm delighted. I love to share with you, my friend. God bless your heart. Now call us quickly out there, all over the fruited plains. Give us a call. And any other country. Any other country. We are heard so far around this globe. It is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. And if, hey, a while ago when I played a little bit of Kenneth Hagin, I'm sorry about the sound. I hadn't figured that perfectly out. That was my first time to do that. And I forgot a little something. And so forgive me for that. But we're here to be a blessing to you. Now, you must order this Bible study from Wednesday night. I think everybody out there listening to me ought to have that CD, and I'm giving it to you free. Free. Call right now, 1-800-338-7884. The toll-free number, well, that is the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. And the local number, 704-391-0588. And by the way, you can actually order it on the, online, okay? Just send an email anywhere in the world. Hey, hi, was Hagin saved? Somebody's asking me, was Hagin saved? Well, you know, I'm not going to try to answer that one. I do not judge people. I don't see how a person who denies the blood of Jesus and says they believe in a born-again Jesus could be saved. Now, maybe he was saved before he came to that crazy doctrine, and that was only his confusion. I don't know. But I can tell you that only the blood can wash away your sins. I don't think anybody out there doubts that. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood can wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood can wash away your sins. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Brother Joe, I'm glad you calling out these false preachers. Because it's time for the true preachers to stand up and warn the people of these false doctrines and all these false preachers.
Why doesn't all preachers want to do that?
Well, they probably some part of the same of them, I reckon. I don't know part of them, I reckon.
You know, it's time that people heard the truth, and that's all I know is the truth. And I love the truth. Thank you, brother.
All you're doing is trying to warn people. And
that's all I'm doing, and I'm not putting nobody down.
You're supposed to mark and let people know.
That's what I'm trying to do.
It's nothing personal. That's a false doctrine. That's what we got to stand on. We got to stand and let warn people about the false doctrine.
You're right on, brother. Thank you.
Thank God for you, Brother Joe Chambers.
I thank God for you saying that, and I'm giving the glory to the Lord. I have none. I want none. Now, listen, you got to hear me again. You got to hear me again. Saturday night, one week from tonight, Joey Yates, right here at this church, 6 o'clock. Special singing from Lexington, Lord willing. We're just looking for a great service. This is our Sunday night service, which would be the 18th. We're moving it to the 17th. We may do that once a month if people like it. That's up to people, of course. We just want to be a blessing. We are here to preach the gospel. We're looking for a great service. 6 o'clock next Saturday night, 1 week from today, 1 week from tonight. I want you to be here, and I want you here tomorrow. Let me tell you what I'm preaching tomorrow. I am so excited. The awesome power of His blood. Now, notice, I said the awesome power of His blood. I didn't say the awesome power of the blood, because then you could talk about anybody's blood. His blood. Only the blood of the sanctified, sent into the world, Son of God, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. His blood was divine. And I'll make that as plain as I know how to make it. And I'm preaching that in the morning, and I hope you'll come. I really do. I hope you'll come. Let me see. I believe somebody told me I had a call. What was it? You on the air? May I help you, please? You on the air? May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I got a question on Revelation.
Okay, Revelation.
Yeah, 13:6. It says, and open his mouth and blasphemy against God. He blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven.
Yes.
Now, the pre-tribulation, I suppose, has occurred or will occur right before that.
Yes, exactly.
And in 7, verse 7 says, and it was given unto them to make war with the saints and to overcome them.
These are people who get saved after the rapture.
Okay, so they're saints. I guess that would answer my question. Then.
Yeah, see, saints are going to be, people are going to be getting saved all during the whole 7 years. There's a whole crowd of them in chapter 6 that are crying out because they've been martyred and and terribly treated by the Antichrist. That's chapter 6. Chapter 7, you got a multitude caught up to heaven. Middle of the tribulation, these are tribulation saints. And then as you move on past that, you got others getting right with God. And all during that period, the devil is fighting the Christian community with all he's got. And he hates those in heaven, and he hates those on earth. And he'll have both crowds to blaspheme during the 7 years. Both the saints in heaven who went up in the rapture, and both the saints on earth who got saved after the rapture.
Okay.
That's pretty good to understand, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, I was trying to witness to somebody in CVS the other day, and I don't know what his thinking was, but he was, I was trying to tell him some about Jesus and his main contention. He just started saying this, you know, the only six letters J in the alphabet, and I asked him, so where did you go to school?
Well, you know, keep trying, okay? Keep trying. God bless you, sir. God bless you. You know, this has been a great broadcast. I love it. I really do. I trust it has been a blessing to you, because when I'm a blessing to you, that's when my heart is satisfied. I don't want to do anything here that doesn't bring blessings to you. Now, the number to call, keep calling. I want to give you this gift, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, two numbers, and they'll be up on the screen here for a little bit if you on internet, okay? I'll put them up for you. Remember, jrc@paulcreek.org is email. I want you in church tomorrow. Man, would I love to have you in the house of God with me tomorrow. I would be thrilled. I would be absolutely thrilled to see you in church, okay?